This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Infrastructure limbo. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, September 30th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
It's not clear Democrats are united behind today's vote on an infrastructure bill. Separately, there's an agreement to keep the government funded beyond tonight.
President Biden criticized during another grilling on Capitol Hill for Pentagon officials about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan.
YouTube is removing content with vaccine misinformation, like videos that say the shots cause infertility or other adverse side effects.
And why making stock trading apps feel like a game does not translate into a winning investment strategy.
One of the biggest things that gamification does is it taps into chemicals in the brain that allow us to experience pleasure. I mean, it's that dopamine hit that we always get, and it's what makes us excited, and whether it's playing video games or watching a show or anything we do, that's just kind of gets us excited about experiences.
Brett Molina at USA Today on managing apps like Robinhood. Republicans and Democrats in the Senate have reached an agreement to keep the government funded beyond tonight's deadline. They're expected to pass a measure today that would extend funding until December 3rd. A more difficult issue is the effort by Democrats to pass a roughly $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill in the House. In exchange for their support, progressives in the party first want to advance a separate $3.5 trillion social spending bill. Speaker Nancy Pelosi so far has stuck to her plan to bring the infrastructure bill up for a vote later today. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
The president has been clear about his commitment to getting both pieces of legislation passed, both of them through. So right now what we're navigating through and we're working through is how we can get agreement.
It's not clear Democrats have enough support in their own party to support the social spending plan as it's currently scheduled. Separately, the House approved a bill yesterday to suspend the debt ceiling, but Senate Republicans have already blocked a similar proposal. At a second day of hearings about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, Republican lawmakers criticized the Biden administration strategy as they attacked his judgment and honesty. In an August TV interview, Mr. Biden denied his commanders had recommended keeping 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. But General Frank McKenzie, head of U.S. Central Command, said yesterday both he and the top commander on the ground had recommended keeping 2,500 U.S. troops in that country. He was questioned by Alabama Republican Congressman Mike Rogers.
In August of this year, President Biden told George Stephanopoulos in an interview, no one said that to me, referring to keeping some 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Was that an inaccurate statement by the president?
Sir, I am not going to comment on a statement by the president.
Republicans have accused Mr. Biden of playing down warnings of the risk of a Taliban victory and exaggerating America's ability to prevent Afghanistan from again becoming a safe haven for terrorists. The messy Afghanistan withdrawal, tanking poll numbers, an epic feud over the filibuster. Just about every Democrat has found a reason to be anxious about the Biden administration so far, and tensions are on high as the fate of Mr. Biden's domestic policy agenda faces a pivotal moment in a deeply divided Congress. Robin Bravender, senior correspondent at Insider, says the anything is better than Trump unity that ushered Mr. Biden into the White House has waned. Robin, what are you hearing?
Yeah, it's crunch time for the Biden administration. It's a huge week. There's a lot on the line, and Democrats across the board are freaking out. There's a range of outcomes that people in the Democratic Party want. They're not all in line, and a lot of people are worried they're not going to like the outcome.
Okay, so the biggest things that weigh on the minds of these outside observers are what, in terms of it being crunch time for the Biden administration?
Yeah, so we've basically got the Biden agenda on the line this week in terms of what comes out of these big spending bills. So at stake are this bipartisan infrastructure package, which would give a lot of money to roads and bridges. There's this very wonky Senate procedure called reconciliation, which basically is a way for Democrats to push through Biden's policy priorities on things like voting rights, climate change, without any Republican support. So that's on the line. Also in the background are the government shutdown and the debt ceiling. So tons going on. There's sort of a tightrope that Democrats in Congress and the Biden administration are trying to walk. And in the background are the 2022 midterms, where Republicans are really hoping they're going to pick up seats. So everything's in play right now.
How much of this is about, say, progressives versus centrists on Capitol Hill?
That's a centerpiece of the fight this week. So progressives who backed Biden during this very contentious presidential primary, they said, we want to get Trump out. We will support you. Please come through with some of our priorities. And then moderates are saying our seats are at stake. And so it's better to get something done than push for these very ambitious policies that that progressives are saying they want.
We're speaking with Robin Bravender, senior correspondent at Insider. Her piece is called Democrats on Capitol Hill Are Worrying About Biden. You said, too, the criticisms are piling up. And you quoted one guy who said Mr. Biden wasn't aggressive early enough in fighting the Delta variant.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's hard. It's going to be hard for Biden to appease everyone. He inherited a pandemic. So a lot of people are willing to give Biden the benefit of the doubt there. There are some people who think he could have done more and focused more on a COVID response. But a lot of Democrats are willing to give Biden some wiggle room on that and say it's something that no one could have done perfectly.
Less wiggle room, though, say, than the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's an issue that's interesting because a lot of Democrats are frustrated with how that played out. But ultimately, most Democrats think that's not going to be a huge issue for voters. So some people welcome Biden having done that. Of course, Biden's really sticking to his guns on that and saying he had to do it. And politically, it might have made sense to do so early in his administration, where voters might not be thinking about that come 2022.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of 2022, you referenced this midterm anxiety. Is time on his side, meaning Mr. Biden, I guess, for Democrats, say, a little more than a year from now?
Yeah, absolutely. 2022 is still a ways out. And if Biden has success on these spending bills, if he can strike a deal and make everyone sort of happy, that could come back and play really well for Democrats in 2022. If everyone says, you know, the other side caved and we ended up getting what we want there, and we got some funding for progressives, maybe not everything that they wanted, but if they can say that they pushed the administration and the moderates farther than they wanted to go, they could come out looking really good.
Thanks, Robin. Robin Bravender, senior correspondent at Insider.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. The father of pop star Britney Spears has been suspended as conservator of her $60 million estate. At a hearing yesterday, Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Brenda Penny said the pleadings made it clear that the current situation is not tenable. She approved an accountant as temporary conservator, replacing her father, James Spears. Ms. Spears' attorney, Matthew Rosengart, argued successfully for the immediate removal of her father to pave the way for a complete termination of the conservatorship this fall.
It's a great day for Britney Spears, and it's a great day for justice. And there's definitely something to celebrate.
Ms. Spears has been battling for several months to end the 13-year conservatorship that has ruled over her life and her finances. At the hearing, by the way, Mr. Rosengart also referenced a recent TV documentary that reported Mr. Spears hired a security firm to eavesdrop on Britney's bedroom. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate has reached a deal to avoid a government shutdown. The New York Democrat says he has scheduled a vote on the stopgap measure for this morning. The bill would keep the government running into early December and would still need to pass the House. Federal funding will lapse if Congress fails to pass an appropriations plan before midnight tonight. A lapse in funding could lead to federal worker furloughs and a reduction in services.
Number two.
President Biden's agenda is at risk of being derailed by divisions among his own party as moderates voiced anger at the idea of delaying a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says Biden is trying to get Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema on board.
I don't know what more he could do. Calls him down to the White House frequently. Pretty soon they're going to get nameplates on the door. They're down there so often.
Number three.
The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol has issued subpoenas to 11 individuals connected to former President Trump and the pro-Trump group involved in organizing rallies leading up to the insurrection. The committee is seeking materials and testimony from Katrina Pearson, a spokesperson for Trump's 2016 campaign, and Maggie Mulvaney, the niece of former acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, among others. All 11 were identified as having been involved with the Stop the Steal rally outside the White House, where Trump spoke to his supporters hours before the Capitol attack. The CDC has issued its strongest guidance to date, urging pregnant women to be vaccinated against COVID. The guidance comes as more than 250,000 cases of COVID in pregnant women have been reported, 22,000 of whom were hospitalized. 161 pregnant women have died of COVID, yet less than a third of pregnant women have been vaccinated. A David Bowie album that was never officially released during his lifetime is set to come out the day before what would have been his 75th birthday. Toy, which was recorded in 2001, will be released in a 3-CD box set on January 7th. Before that, it will form part of David Bowie 5, a larger box set to be released in November. The record's eye-catching sleeve features Bowie's adult face superimposed over that of a baby.
I guess that has something to do with the title, Toy. I don't know. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, the gamification of trading apps. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not, enjoyable. And refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13 for just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. Harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. H-A-R-R-Y-S. Harrys.com/deal. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. Not long ago, Robinhood would reward users of its investing app who made their first trade by dropping confetti. That experience, critics say, is an example of how investing apps have attempted to turn elements of stock trading into a game, a technique called gamification. Is that risky? Insight from Brett Molina, consumer tech reporter at USA Today. Brett, take us through it.
So essentially what it is it takes elements of video games and it applies them to different activities. This kind of concept has been around for a while now. This isn't just exclusive to a lot of the investing apps that we're seeing in a lot of these practices. We see it across a lot of different platforms. Anything from even like Facebook, where it's like you do things like posts and stuff like that. But it's essentially what it is it turns activities within apps and makes them feel more like a game to keep you engaged. A really good example is on Robinhood, because one of the earliest things they did on their app was when you would make your first trade, there would be confetti that dropped. And so that was kind of an opportunity for users to get excited and also just feel more engaged within the app. And then in turn, they would use the app more often.
Okay. So there appear to be obvious traps here, but explain what might be wrong with that.
So with the experts I talked to, they seem to support the concept of gamification overall in terms of you know, you're learning more about investing, you're learning more about the market. Where it can become a problem, though, is when it goes from investing as a rational practice to becoming more emotional because you're looking at it too much like a game and not something that has actual real-world financial impact. And that's where it gets a lot of people in trouble. And the important thing to know is while these tools are fun and it helps make investing fun and easy to learn, you can't fall into that trap of treating it too much like a game, and then that's where you get into trouble.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds great in practice, but how do you draw the line between rational and emotional? How do you know? Maybe you are terrific at picking stocks. You really do thorough research.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if, you know, I think it's one of those situations where if you find yourself more invested in the app because of, you know, those different little rewards or things that they use to pull you in, then that may be a moment to take a step back and think about, well, why are you doing this? You know, it's important to have kind of goals in mind when you're investing. And I think as long as the actions that you take within these apps align with those goals that you have set and you're not making decisions that are going off that because of just, you know, you're hoping to get a reward within the app, then that's where you need to kind of figure out, maybe I need to step back and rethink what I'm doing.
We're speaking with Brett Molina, consumer tech reporter at USA Today. He's written a piece entitled Apps Make Trading Stocks Feel Like a Game, But That May Not Be a Winning Investment Strategy. How about the impact on the brain here? I thought this was a good deeper dive.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the biggest things that gamification does is it taps into chemicals in the brain that allow us to experience pleasure. I mean, it's that dopamine hit that we always get, and it's what makes us excited, and whether it's playing video games or watching a show or anything we do, that's just kind of gets us excited about experiences. And, you know, one expert I talked to mentioned how, you know, our brains love uncertainty and all those rewards that might be hiding behind, you know, whatever door, wherever it is, whether it's, you know, you invest in a stock and all of a sudden the price goes up. Our brains kind of love that uncertainty, and that's what we're chasing with some of these apps sometimes.
Thanks, Brett. Brett Molina, consumer tech reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Football season, as you know, has returned. It's great when your favorite sport comes back, but the sport of business doesn't have an off season. All year long, you demand excellence from your craft and your wardrobe. When you've got the timeless style and comfort that makes you look as good as you feel, you do your best work. For that, there's Cuts Clothing. Cuts started by reinventing the t-shirt. Their signature buttery soft Pika Pro Tri-Blend Tee has been described as the only shirt worth wearing by GQ. As soon as I tried it on, they won me over. These shirts are comfortable, but they're fashionably flexible. I've worn them with everything from shorts and sandals to undersuit jackets. Cuts has developed fabrics uniquely engineered for each clothing style. Hoodies, polos, crew sweatshirts, and more. That are cutting-edge comfort you have to wear to believe. To do your best, you need to feel your best. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. 15% off the only shirt worth wearing at cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, September 30th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Infrastructure bill scheduled for a vote today, but it's not clear Democrats are united. Agreement to keep the government temporarily funded beyond tonight. Walmart plans to hire 150,000 workers for the holidays. Stocks likely to eke out third quarter gains. Kilauea volcano begins erupting again on Hawaii's Big Island. The NCAA's March Madness brand will now include women. Thursday night football, Jacksonville at Cincinnati. And why a principal ordered pizza for 400 students. That story in about 20 minutes. But you've heard reports about how businesses and hospitals are starting to fire employees who refuse to be vaccinated against COVID-19. What could that mean for the already tight labor market? Insight from Paul Siegert, managing partner at PCS Advisors. Paul, your take.
Well, we're seeing that the presidential mandate has prompted many more employers to take more aggressive steps. Just today, United Airlines, as an example, released the news that they'll be firing 593 workers who've chosen not to get vaccinated. And to me, a little bit more interesting is the stance they've taken on those who had a religious exemption. They're putting them on unpaid leave. It was supposed to go into effect 10-1, but so essentially firing them as well. But it's in the courts now and getting pushed till 10-15. But we're seeing that in lots of industries, healthcare being one of the biggest.
Yeah. Do front-facing, say, healthcare workers, or their employers at least, have a stronger leg to stand on with this?
Well, there's some good challenges that are being made, or I think some challenges that have grounds that we're watching in the courts, where some of these workers are saying, I was exposed, I caught COVID, I have natural immunity, and I can prove it through antibody testing or T-cell testing. And there is some precedent in the healthcare industry. You are required to get certain vaccines, as an example, to work in hospitals, but lots of states' rules will allow you to forego those vaccines if you could show that you have natural antibodies from getting and recovering from the illness itself. So they, in some cases, it may actually be a weaker position for them. We'll see how it plays out in the courts.
Wow. All right, so as part of all this, here we have, say, hospital systems letting some of its workers go, whether they're nurses or whatever, and we're already in a worker shortage situation. So what could all this mean if we're already starting to, say, postpone elective surgeries?
Yeah, they had a shortage before the pandemic, definitely a shortage of nursing and other skilled staff in healthcare facilities. And what we're seeing is that there are already some hospitals, especially in more rural areas, which tend to be the hardest hit in general, they are closing some services. There are some hospitals in New York, as an example, in upstate New York, that have discontinued labor and delivery services for the foreseeable future. And in some cases, they're the only hospital in that county or within a reasonable drive. So it's having a definite impact. And there were some healthcare employers, Kettering Health in Ohio is an example, that were being creative in their mandate, allowing for natural immunity to be an allowable exception. And then with the kind of the national mandate that's coming down, some of that has gone away, unfortunately.
We're speaking with Paul Siegert, managing partner at PCS Advisors. We're talking about how bad the worker shortage could get, since we're seeing some employers now terminate employees for not complying with vaccine mandates. I presume some of these workers are rolling the dice, say, if you're a nurse, knowing that there are shortages elsewhere, you might leave employer A and feel confident you could land a gig with employer B?
Well, that's true. And it's, again, hitting those rural areas more than the urban areas where there's more workforce available. If you went back 2 years ago, a traveling nurse, as an example, would get paid $1,900 a week. That's up to $3,500 a week with a $20,000 signing bonus. So they know they can leave and, as you say, get hired elsewhere, whether it's a smaller employer, whether they become a traveling nurse, or just a different employer in general or a different market.
Yeah. What could that mean for patients here?
Well, they are sounding the alarm because there was already unsafe staffing levels in many facilities, and that's why it's leading to shutting down some offerings at some of these facilities. When polled, 28% of employees tell us that they will lose their job over the vaccine. So it's not a small number of people that we're seeing fit into this category. And it's pretty shocking, really, that we still don't have widespread allowance or open conversation about the fact that these mandates don't allow for natural immunity.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Siegert, managing partner at PCS Advisors. Separately, by the way, Los Angeles officials are indicating they'll vote next week to keep unvaccinated people out of city businesses, one of the nation's most severe crackdowns so far. If approved, LA would join San Francisco and New York among major U.S. cities requiring proof of vaccination for indoor businesses. Coming up next, the Mic Drop.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we've brought you plenty of Florida man stories over the years and more than a few alligator stories, but here's a story that combines both in a way that set the internet on fire yesterday. In a viral video, 26-year-old Eugene Bozzi of Mount Dora near Orlando is seen approaching an alligator with a large recycling bin on the ground with the lid open. Bozzi felt he needed to contain the gator with his children and other neighborhood kids playing nearby. As the gator recoils and gets angrier, Bozzi keeps moving the bin closer until the animal's head goes inside, at which point he flips the lid closed on top of the gator, eventually getting its whole body inside before finally pulling the can upright, trapping the angry gator inside to the delight of about 40 people who were watching. Bozzi, who's a U.S. Army veteran, took the gator down to a bushy area with a body of water. He kicked the bin down and ran off as the alligator crawled out before disappearing into the bushes. Bozzi's heroics have made him an instant internet celebrity, and the video of his gator capture has been watched well over 4 million times.
That's great.
I mean, that definitely takes some bravery did there, because, like I said, the gator's getting, like, madder as this is all going on and, you know, flailing around, and, he's just, like, I think he's yelling at the people. He's like, just let me know when the head's inside. When the head's inside, he's going to flip the lid closed, and then the gator gets even angrier because of that, because it, you know, whacks on top of its body. Just crazy stuff.
Yeah. So the garbage can is on its side, and he's got it, like, pointed, you know, the long end pointed at the at the gator.
And he's just slowly moving it towards the gator.
He can't really see. He's just trying to feel his way to get it over the gator's head. Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah, so to do that, do all that, and not even be able to see where the gator is, or if it's, you know, crawling around the side of the can or whatever, I mean, that's, you know, take some bravery
Is, as you point out, that is one angry reptile. I mean, his mouth is open, right? He's hissing. Yeah, the tail is flailing just snapping. That tail snap would probably, you know, snap your ankle.
Yeah.
If you got too near it from the back.
Crazy stuff.
Brave stuff.
And speaking of viral sensations, Jennifer told us earlier this week that the wildly popular Netflix show Squid Game could be on track to become the most watched show in the history of the streaming service. The popularity comes at a price for one person, however, though he could also wind up cashing in. A Korean man has been offered around $85,000 by a South Korean presidential candidate in exchange for his phone number, which has been bombarded with calls after being featured in Squid Game.
Ooh.
The man's number was shown in the fictional show's first episode, and he says he started getting a lot of calls, around 4,000 a day, from children who also wanted to be in the game, unaware that it's not real. The man says he didn't want to change his number because he's had it for 10 years and it's linked to his business. He may have no choice in the matter now, but at least he could get compensated for it either from this political candidate or from the show's production company, which is said to be negotiating with the man to resolve the issue.
Man.
Let's see. I mean, you know, here, I don't know what they do with Korean TV shows, but I know in the U.S. we usually have, like, the 555 numbers, right? So they put the fake number out there, which is always 555 something. No, nobody has a 555 number, so we don't have these problems where somebody's phone number gets, you know, accidentally put into a show or a movie.
Man, I'm just doing some math here. I mean, 4,000 calls a day?
Yes.
That's...
I mean,
that's insane.
So that's just like, your phone just never stops ringing, basically, right? All day long.
Yeah.
Your phone just continues to ring. And who knows how many voicemails, and your, you know, voicemails full in about 10 seconds.
Goodness gracious. Well, yeah, so his choice now, take the 85 grand from the politician, or choice B from the production company, what their settlement offer might be. Right.
Or maybe a collector who really loves the show maybe would want to get the phone with the number too. That's also another option, I think. You should hold out.
Thanks, Mike. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything at you. Dell Technologies advisors have the tech advice you need to navigate whatever you're up against. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Lawmakers have less than 3 weeks to raise the debt limit or raise a first-ever default, which would trigger a broad market sell-off and put a stranglehold on everything from government payments to the ability to borrow. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen sounded the alarm in remarks to the Senate Banking Committee. CNBC.com says in a worst-case scenario, the federal government would default at least temporarily on some of its obligations, including Social Security payments, veterans benefits, and salaries for federal workers. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Congress is moving to avert one crisis while putting off another, with the Senate poised to approve legislation that would fund the federal government into early December. The House is expected to approve the measure following the Senate vote this morning, preventing a partial government shutdown when the new fiscal year begins at midnight tonight.
Number two.
Democrats are struggling over how to get President Biden's top domestic priorities over the finish line. Those include a bipartisan infrastructure bill that contains $550 billion in new spending for roads, bridges, broadband, and other priorities, as well as a $3.5 trillion slate of social, health, and environmental programs. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked about bringing the infrastructure bill to the floor.
Postpone, if I move ahead on the vote on Thursday?
That's the plan.
Number three.
Ecuador's president has declared a state of emergency in the prison system following a battle among gang members in a coastal lockup that killed at least 116 people and injured 80 in what authorities say was the worst prison bloodbath ever in the country. The state of emergency will give the government powers that include deploying police and soldiers inside prisons. Britney Spears has been freed from her father, and she could be freed entirely from court control within weeks. In a major victory for the pop star, a judge yesterday suspended the singer's father from the conservatorship that had controlled her life and money for 13 years, saying the arrangement reflects a toxic environment. Spears attorney Matthew Rosengart.
Britney Spears has been faced with a decade-long nightmare, a Kafkaesque nightmare, orchestrated by her father and others.
The decision comes months after Spears pleaded for her father's removal in a dramatic court hearing, saying, "I want my life back." It's official. The pandemic's effect on our waistlines has been rough. New data from the CDC shows 16 states now have obesity rates of 35% or higher. That's an increase of 4 states in just 1 year. Many people gained significant weight since COVID started, likely fueled by an increase in sedentary behavior, stress, and troubles such as job and income loss that make healthy eating harder.
Those are staggering numbers. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. A principal at an elementary school in Philadelphia bought pizza for 400 students after food services staff didn't show up. Mitchell Elementary School sent a letter to parents and guardians saying that food services staff from the school district of Philadelphia did not report to Mitchell to serve food during breakfast or lunch on September 23rd, a week ago. A spokesperson for the school district said it was short-staffed on the day and cited the nationwide supply chain and labor shortages. The school district offers breakfast and lunch to all pupils for free. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported that some students rely on the free meals and that almost all students at Mitchell Elementary are considered economically disadvantaged. School officials confirmed to Fox News that a food services staff member was present at the school the following day, and meals were then distributed to the students. As schools reopen amid the COVID pandemic and Delta variant surge, many face staff shortages nationwide. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.